Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Find me on the web at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. All my contact information is in the show notes of this podcast. And, you know, I am a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with hedgers, speculators, online traders, broker-assisted, anything in between, like our hybrid accounts, which are probably the most popular. So, yeah, check us out sometime or just contact me directly. So, I'm going to be out of the office later this week. I'm going to be in Denver at a conference. I'm actually speaking, so I'll be here today and tomorrow. I want to give my thoughts on the WASDE report. We had that on Friday. Really meant to get something out over the weekend, but that just ended up not happening. It ended up having too many commitments. So let's talk real quick about the WASDE market. I mean, the WASDE report. The big surprise, I think, was the winter wheat seedings. And what we ended up seeing was, you know, over the years, winter wheat as acreage have really come down. And I think last year the big story was winter wheat, you know, at 32 or 33 million planted acres was the lowest we've seen since the Great Depression and all that stuff. And this year they're expecting winter wheat acres to come down to a million, 2 million and a half again, to somewhere around between 31 and 32 million acres. That didn't happen. We actually went up just a little bit, especially in hard red winter wheat. And that caused the market to sell off, and sell off pretty hard. Now, what was interesting, too, about that is, so the market's wrong about the wheat acres. Why were they wrong about the wheat acres? You know, with the wheat at these low prices, the idea was it would, those wheat acres would go into other crops, primarily soybeans. So let's talk like west of the Mississippi, Kansas, states like that. Plant a little less wheat. They plant more soybeans. That was the idea. So when that number came out, not only did wheat sell off, and it definitely sold off pretty good, soybeans went higher. And on Friday, November, the new crop actually went higher than the old crop. Today, that's actually, old crop is catching up a little bit with the new crop. But still, it was bullish for beans because, you know, that million, million and a half acres was expected to go to the soybean market. And with, you know, a 50 trend line yield or something close to it, you know, anyone who was thinking about next year's ending stocks probably just had to take away 50 to 75 million bushels away from that. Not this year's, but next year's, which the USDA doesn't have tables for yet. But that was the idea, and that's why we saw a little bit of a rally there, even though we do have large stocks in the United States. I mean, stocks did go up. Production came down a little bit, but so did exports for soybeans. We were still underneath 500 million bushels on the carryout for this marketing year, so that was pretty good. But the South American crop is big, so that was so that also happened with the WASDE report. Another corn was relatively unchanged. I think yield went up, but acres came down a little bit, so there wasn't a whole lot of a big difference there. They kept the export number the same, which was encouraging. A lot of people are expecting that to come down, and it really didn't. I will say this, though. So my major takeaway of the WASDE is that farmers are really going to be sensitive to inputs this year. I can't think of another reason why wheat would stay the same or even go up a little bit if input costs wasn't a factor. Wheat has been pretty hated in the market for years now, and we've just seen the acres come down and down and down, and to now finally see those acres kind of stabilize says to me, it's not that wheat's a great deal, you know, to grow right now, or it's, you know, there's some kind of, you know, farmers are getting really excited about it. I think what it really says is money's tight out there, credit's tight out there, and it doesn't cost a lot to plant that crop. right? And farmers can basically lock in whatever they need to. They know they'll get through this year, you know, with any prices they can lock in and their inputs. And it keeps the, you know, the ground basically working that land and producing something. I'm also hearing about farmers up north. And this is interesting, actually. I would take note of this, too. When you take a look at the other reports and the other commodities, like what are gaining acres? What's the acreage situation look at there? You talk to guys up north, and you're hearing more about oats. I mean, if you look at a chart of oats, it has performed well. And while we don't trade it that much, and it's not carried a lot in the business press, it has been strong, especially compared to corn and some of the other commodities. So up north, we could see, and in the margins, a little bit more acres go towards oats. You know, out west, instead of acres leaving wheat and going to beans or corn, or really beans in this case, they may not. There was, you know, when you talk to people in the Dakotas, they were making $50 an acre in beans, losing $50 an acre in corn. Just be a little more beans up there and a little bit more oats, you know, and more in the, well, maybe not the coast, maybe more towards like Montana. Wouldn't be surprised to see that. You talk to farmers more towards the East Coast, like Eastern Ohio and into Pennsylvania. You get the feeling you could see more beans and corn. And you talk to people down south, you know, cotton prices have really been looking good. And I've been hearing about cotton in like Kansas, you know, or Nebraska. I don't know if they're really going to do it, but there's even talk about it. So, you know, I've heard more about rice. And, you know, in Arkansas, you know, that used to be all basically rice and soybean country. And, you know, for a while there was corn, and now we're seeing less and less corn being planted. So what's going to help it happen in the Delta area, too? From what I can understand, sorghum is actually some pretty good demand to it and some pretty good prices and margins for farmers. Cotton is well priced now, or at least better than it used to be. Soybeans, the price of new crop soybeans versus new crop corn, or even old crop soybeans and old crop corn, soybeans still has the advantage. And then the kicker of all kickers, wheat acres did not come down yesterday. So what that's telling me is farmers have to make a decision on, are they just going to go low input costs altogether, or are they going to try to plant something that's going to make a little bit more return? And every time I look at these scenarios, there's always one odd man out, and that's corn. So I know that can be kind of a dangerous proposition. You know, farmers like to plant corn, and I understand that. I think when that changes is when there's not enough credit, where there's not enough, where the margins are too thin, and farmers are basically going to have to, you know, decide, all right, what do I need to do to get through for the next, you know, for the next season or two, you know, with our prices and what their bankers are going to allow them to do. So I'm thinking, you know, I know some analysts out there are calling for 91 or 92 million acres of corn, but I mean, where are those acres coming from, and who are they going to take it from? I think it's more likely that we see 88 or 89 million acres of corn as corn loses out to beans up north and oats up north, probably beans in the east, and then down south and even parts of the southwest or the, you know, the Midwest southern parts. Cotton, you know, down in the Delta, you can lose some to rice, you can lose some to beans. I don't know. That's where it's all shaping up. It's tough to really put a finger on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if we did see less corn acres. And, you know, Linda and I start running our price models here, and I'm looking at 89 million acres corn and 175 yield, and we're producing just as much as we're consuming, whether it be with, you know, ethanol exports and the feed combined. So, you know, it's just, it seems like if the carryout is going to projected to be the same now as next year, I can't see things getting a whole lot worse than they are right now, right? Famous last words, but, you know, I see a lot more upside now. You know, if we're going to hit those amount of acres and have a 175 yield, which would actually be, I think, a little bit above trend line, and we're just keeping things constant, you know, I mean, yeah, if we go 90 or 90 plus, you know, then we're adding to the million acres, then we're adding to the carry out. Or if we're above a 175 yield, which would be really something, you know, then we're going to be a higher carry out again. But I think it's more likely we see less acres, and more likely that we haven't had a real weather issue in a while. Maybe we do lose a couple of percentage points on yield. And then all of a sudden, you can see how we're getting back to $4 corn again, you know, in the basically in the old crop, in the, you know, in the old crop prices, instead of it always being a new crop because of the carry. So I do think that I am a little bit more bullish than corn. I think, again, I've been talking about this, you know, we're just, I mean, originally this conversation came up just because of beans versus corn, and we were calling for more bean acres and less corn acres. But now that I've seen that winter wheat number, there's definitely something going on, and we obviously need to reach out to our clients that I talk with who raise wheat. And, you know, I think the idea of sticking with wheat is the low input cost. I really do. So if you are a wheat farmer, you're in the wheat business, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter at Turner's Take, or, you know, here, cTurner at DanielsTrading.com. Or if you just go to any of the, I mean, whether you access this podcast through my website on Daniel's Trading, or through iTunes, or through some podcast app on your phone, if you go to those show notes, you can, you know, basically click on it and email me. I would love to know what your thoughts are on wheat, if you're involved in wheat and you plant wheat, and why you would think there was a surprise. And I think, I really do think it has to do with inputs. It's just a lower input cost for farmers. And that's why it finally, stabilized here. So that would be interesting. And if that's going on, that's probably not just going on wheat. I would think that's going on throughout the country. And that's why another reason to think we're going to have a little bit less corn acres. Now, if we do get 91 or 92 million corn acres, then something else is going on out there that we're missing. But I don't know. I am just getting the feeling we're going to be a little bit lower this year. So that was my major takeaway from the WASDE report. And what I'm thinking here is I still like straddles on corn. I'd rather have, if I'm going to set up my risk profile, I'd rather set myself up neutral to bullish in the corn market going forward. For beans, I'm pretty concerned about. I mean, I think we are going to see 91 or 92 million acres in beans, and I think we could see 500 or 600 million carry out for beans if we get the acreage increase and we have around a trend line yield. And the problem there is then all of a sudden beans, instead of being in the mid to high nines, we're in the mid to high eights. So we're going to have to, you know, use this rally here probably to start looking at put spreads, because you want to leave as much upside as possible in the bean market. Why? If we get weather issues, beans can go to 12. If beans, you know, if we had, you know, real significant weather issues, beans go to 12. But if we have good crops and big crops, you know, beans could go to 8. There's a much, much bigger variance in the price of beans this year. I mean, you got to remember, and I've stressed this a lot, but it's important, you know, in soybeans, we got to make 4 to 5 billion bushels a year. I mean, every 6 months in the United States or North America, and then 4 to 5 billion bushels, you know, 6 months later out of South America. And if we don't, we have a huge major issue in the export market for soybeans, because we only produce soybeans for export in any significant number from South America or North America. And it's really U.S., Argentina, and Brazil. With Argentina being more on the meal side, and the U.S. And Brazil being more on the soybean side. But that's it. You know, it's not like, you know, wheat, which would be the opposite end of the spectrum, where we're producing wheat for export pretty much in all regions of the earth. And corn would be in the middle of that, right? So corn's sensitive to, you know, the weather issues, but we also know we can make it up sometimes in South America or in the Ukraine or in Russia, parts of Europe, South Africa, but not the case with soybeans. So the way I always talk about this big USDA report that comes out, it gives us a clue how we want to set up for the rest of the year. I think the volatility play, potential for it, is on in soybeans. I think corn looks much better. I think corn looks a lot better. I know someone called me today and said they read an article from a respected analyst that said we could see 280 corn, which I guess we could if their models are, I mean, if that, whoever wrote that article was factoring in an increase in corn acres, like 92 million acres, and a trend line yield. I mean, I think, if doing the math correctly, we could be close to a 3 billion carryout in that situation. And then, yeah, I guess we are under 3. But if we're at more like 89 or 88 million acres, you know, we could be at 4 on weather rallies. So, easily. So the acreage story is the big story. That was a huge takeaway in just how big the acreage story and the fight for acres is going to be this year. So Bean's going to be volatile in the way we're going to play it. From a spec side, too, I think you want to play the weather rallies to the upside, and then when we hit resistance, you know, using options to maybe play to the downside. You know, the hedgers should just look for the rallies, make some cash sales if we can approach 10, and then start looking for some put spreads just in case. You hope for someone else has bad weather and your prices go higher, but if it's a great year, then we're going lower. For corn and soybeans, I look at them the same. I still like the straddles. There's only going to be so much downside in both of those commodities. And, you know, with the dollar a little bit weaker and where our prices are in the export market, corn and wheat are competitive. So, you know, we're not going to – there will be buyers for those crops. So that's the way I – you know, those are my main takeaways. If you're a farmer out there and you want to look at a plan of how to – you know, to play this over, you know, the short term and maybe with old crop, but also by the end of the year with new crop, give me a call. If you're a speculator, I think beans versus corn is an interesting play, you know, playing that, you know, the short side of beans and the long side of corn. I mean, it's a little trickier, you know, timing is everything in that one, but that is something I'm definitely going to be taking a look at, and you can contact me about that if that's your kind of trade. And then the wheat, we got to let wheat come down here. I mean, eventually, I think wheat will have some value against corn again, but just not right now. Not like how we used to think it is. You can maybe even make the case we go opposite on that if we get to a certain price where corn might have a better value in wheat. We're going to have to see how these acres come out, but that's what we're watching. In terms of the hog market, we are topping out a little bit here. Or we're getting, I wouldn't say topping out, but we're hitting some highs that we haven't seen in a while, which are natural resistance points. Now, we can keep on going in the hogs, but we typically don't see these rallies this time of year. It could be a good selling opportunity. I mean, February hogs particularly is the one that I'm kind of surprised with on how strong it is. We don't have a position in it, but it does look pretty good. I do still like our cattle spread. I think we're going to find some support here in the live cattle market, and we'll have to see how things develop here in the cash market too. In terms of the other macro markets, I've been wanting to get involved in the S&P, and all I've been doing is just waiting for a big break. We're finally getting on a break today. Since the beginning of the year, I've been saying, hey, when we get to one of those big down days, I want to buy, you know, options, some short-term options of the S&P. Every day since the beginning of the year, we've been higher, for the most part. Today is finally the first part we're actually seeing some selling. So we're going to let the markets come in. Let's see if we can get a down day next day or two. And then maybe kind of look at the weekly or the monthly options in the S&P. I think I like that. I think, you know, this bull market in the S&P and the stock market isn't over, and we're just going to have to – I don't want to jump in on the upside. What I would like to do is wait for a sell-off and then get in. So maybe that is developing today. Still waiting for our sign on crude. You know, if you can – I think a great way to watch the crude market right now is DEIS 18 versus DEIS 19. We're at about $4. That's pretty high, meaning that the market is expecting some strong demand this year for crude oil. But if it's going to break, if we're going to actually, you know, really reverse, I would suspect, you know, one of the key technical triggers is going to be in DEIS 18 versus DEIS 19. I'm still waiting on that. We're still in an uptrend, so we're not getting in. But I would also take a look at June 18 versus DEIS 18. That's another good one. We're at about like $2.37. Again, still in an uptrend, still above the averages. Can't get involved in selling that, but eventually we're going to see production catch up to the crude oil market. Hasn't happened yet, but that's, you know, when we're looking for that sort of thing, this is what we're looking into. Natural gas market, still like the idea of playing that range, and we'll continue to do so. We are going to have some colder weather here, but that should be better going forward. And, you know, I know I talk about we've been talking about Bitcoin here on and off, man. It has been a crazy ride in that contract. Let me see if I can get the Bitcoin. I mean, I think today we're down about $2,000. I mean, it has been trading as high as 2,000. Now we're at about 11,840. These cryptocurrencies are nuts. I don't know anyone who trades them, but they are interesting to watch. And it almost seems like it's a game of hot potato. I mean, reminds me a little bit of the internet bubble of the late 90s, where, you know, you could, I mean, if you have the account side and you can sit through some of the account size and sit through some of these swings, you could probably do well. But if you find yourself in over the head, you're going to get blown out pretty fast. But wow, the moves in some of these cryptocurrencies now that they're listed in the futures market really is something to see. So I don't know if I'd get into it, but I don't know, it's a pretty interesting spectator sport right now. But that's what's going on in the markets. I'm going to be out starting Wednesday afternoon, and I'll be in Denver in a couple of days, and then I'll be back in the office next week. If you see anything, let me know. And that is going to pretty much do it for the markets here. But yeah, huge takeaway is that winter wheat seedings numbers stay in the same. It was bearish for wheat, but not too bearish. It's going to find some support around $4. It causes some really good questions on acreage, and our farmers going to gravitate more towards low input costs rather than in the past what they did is they gravitated for corn because they could have the bumper yields, right? You can outgrow the low prices, and I'm wondering this year if that's really going to be the case. I don't know if we could, so that is going to be interesting. So we'll see what happens. I'll send some updates out when I can, and everyone have a great week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.